If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We'll take a reading in just a moment there for our admonition this morning. It's good to be back with you, having been out of town last week, and appreciate Daniel preaching in my behalf and the young men that spoke last Sunday evening and the good job that they did, and I'm encouraged that they're doing that on the fourth Sunday night, and look forward to more of those in the future to come as those young men develop and mature in the Lord. It's encouraging to see them do that. It's good to be with you, and if you're visiting with us this morning, as Paula has already mentioned, we're glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we read about a king of Judah named Jehoshaphat, and he was a good king, with the exception of aligning himself a couple of times to Ahab and Ahaziah in the north. He is described as a very good king. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we're going to start reading in verse 5, Moab and Ammon have come up to fight against Judah, and they realize that they need God's help. And so Jehoshaphat prays to the Lord, and really this whole chapter has statements in it that have beautiful lessons and encouragements for us today. We're going to look at one of them. I would encourage you, if you have time this afternoon, at least to read down through verse 23. There's several things said by way of faithfulness and courage that are very great verses of God's Word. But we want to read chapter 20, verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of Jehovah before the new court. And he said, O Jehovah, the God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? And art not thou ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in thy hand is power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Didst not thou, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and give it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If evil come upon us, the sword and judgment, or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before thee, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, and thou wilt hear and save. And that's exactly what happens. God hears this prayer, and then there's more encouragement later by other individuals to be strong in the Lord and be faithful to the Lord as they go up to fight Moab and Ammon, and God helps them, and they are able to destroy these two nations. There's an impressive statement in this prayer found in verse 7 that I would want us to consider this morning. Did you notice that Abraham is called the friend of God? That is amazing. And that's what I want us to consider this morning. Later in the book of Isaiah, God himself will say that Abraham is my friend, Isaiah 41 and verse 8. To my knowledge, this is the only individual in Scripture that is described as a friend of God. And you stop and think about that particular accolade. You stop and think about that particular compliment. I can't think of any higher compliment in Scripture than to be called the friend of God. How high and lofty that is. And yet we're going to see this morning that Abraham is not the only one who can be God's friend. Each and every one of us here this morning can be a friend of God. That's no small thing if you stop and think about it. It's not a small thing to be described as the friend of God. Later in the lesson, we're going to see the third time in Scripture where this statement is made. It's made by James. In James chapter 2, Abraham is called the friend of God. Are you God's friend this morning? Am I God's friend? If you just stop and think for a moment about that concept being the friend of God. Just stop and think about that for just a moment, that God has a friend. We're talking about someone who made the universe. We're talking about someone who doesn't need us necessarily. He doesn't require that we supply Him anything. He doesn't need physical things from us. This is the Creator of the universe wants to have a friend with a human being. Stop and think about that a minute. And He reaches down and He wants that to be Abraham. He wants that to be you. He wants that to be me. We're going to talk this morning how it was that Abraham was God's friend and how we can be the same today. And that God actually wants to have a friend in us is quite impressive. There are places in Scripture where we're told that God wants to have a friendship with individuals. Turn with me to Job chapter 29 when Job was suffering. He looked back to a time when things were much better in his life. He had his health, he had his family, and he had the friendship of God. In Job 29 and verse 1, Job took up this parable again. Oh, that I were in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me, when His lamp shined upon my head, and by His light I walked through darkness. I was in the ripeness of my days, when the friendship of God was upon my tent. I wish I could go back to that time when things were good and I was close with God. He's feeling far away at this point in the story. But when the friendship was of God was upon my tent. Turn with me to Psalm 25 and verse 14. Is God your friend? We could probably list some individuals this morning, humans that are our friends. We could probably give a list. If our parents were to ask us, who are your friends? We could probably give our parents a list of our friends. If someone were to ask, write down three friends, we could probably write their names. Would God immediately come to our mind as being our friend? In Psalm 25 and verse 14, the friendship of Jehovah is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Some versions say the secret of Jehovah. The Hebrew word, sod, means an intimate, close conversation between two individuals. And so some versions have friend and some versions have secret. It's the idea of speaking closely with each other. But notice it comes to those who fear Him and respect Him. And God shows him His covenant and they keep that. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 32. Proverbs 3 and verse 32. For the perverse is an abomination to Jehovah, but His friendship is with the upright. And what we're learning is that God not only wants to have a friendship with Abraham, but all of us, if we'll be upright, if we will fear God, if we will serve God, we can be God's friend. And as we sang just a moment ago, we're going to close this morning, Jesus wants to be our friend as well. Do you have a close, intimate relationship with God? Do you have a close, intimate friendship and relationship with Jesus? We commonly think about that with regard to human beings around us, and we should. But do we think each day how close I am with God, my friend? How close I am with Jesus, my friend? That needs to be just as natural as anyone. We sang in our songbook, I'll be a friend to Jesus. Have you ever said to anybody, hey, let me show you a text that my friend sent me? You ever said that? Or let me show you what my friend said the other day. Or let me tell you what my friend said. Or my friend and I went on a trip the other day. You ever said that? Yeah, we say that. Well, do we do that with Jesus? You ever thought about that? Let me show you what my friend told me the other day. and then we show somebody a scripture. That's interesting. Or my friend and I spent some time together. Well, who was that? Jesus. Would we ever say that at work to somebody? Hey, let me show you what my friend just texted me. And we show them a verse of scripture. Yeah, we can do that. We could do that. We could be thinking that way. That would be a good thing. And so let's look this morning at Abraham, the friend of God, and see how that we can be the same this morning. Just recently, a Christian was telling me how that they appreciated having someone to spend some time with during the day that was like-minded with them and talking about similar things and spending time with them. And they enjoyed being with this person and they wanted to spend more time with them. That's what a friendship is. Can we have that with God? Can we have that with Jesus? How was it that Abraham was the friend of God? Well, what constitutes a close friendship? I can think of some things. Maybe you can think of some things. First of all, personal knowledge. If you have a close friend, you know a lot about them. You know intimate details about them. They share those things. Not just the general things that people in the world know, like their name. You know a lot more detailed things. There's personal, intimate conversation. There's regular communication. You talk regularly throughout the week with close friends. There's trust and confidence. When you're talking about different things, you might go over to them or they might come to you and they might confide something. And when they say that, you trust what they're saying and you're confident that they're only going to say what is helpful and what is good. You enjoy being with them. You have like mind. Maybe you have similar hobbies or similar recreations or similar things that you like to talk about. There's devotion and love. You're similar in personality. And so that ends up leading you towards similar interests. You might have the same, you might like the same kinds of food, go to the same kind of restaurant, or have the same hobby, or spend, maybe you like the same football team, or whatever. There's similarities between the two of you. If you go to do something, you invite your friend to come do that with you, and you're united together with them. Sometimes you might make agreements. You might sit down and you might share something with them and you both decide that you're going to go out and do such and such together. You might make a pact or a covenant or a promise together to do something. There's definitely freedom of access. We'll say to our close friends, call me anytime. Text me anytime. You can call me at 2 a.m. and I'm there for you. Freedom of access, just anytime. And then, of course, in those times when we need counsel or comfort or help, they're there. I'm sure all of us here this morning have a human friend like that. We could mention that. We might start with our spouse and then move out from there. But is God on the list as our friend? Is Jesus on the list? I'll be a friend to Jesus. We're going to find these things that we've just mentioned between God and Abraham. And we can find them, hopefully, between us today. Why was Abraham called the friend of God? Well, first of all, he was called that because whenever God said something to him, like friends do, we trust what they say. If our close friend came to us and said something, we would trust that. We've had a record with them knowing that they're not going to lead us astray. When God came to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 and called him out of his homeland to go into a place to be a sojourner, Abraham believed that. There are a number of texts that tell us that God made oaths and promises, Luke 1:73, Acts 7:17. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. We're going to read a few verses there. Romans chapter 4. There are passages that tell us that God would make a promise to Abraham and he would believe it, or God would make an oath to Abraham. Friends trust friends. And Abraham was the friend of God because whenever God said something, he believed it and trusted it. And so this morning, we can be God's friend. Whenever we open up our Bible and read something, we just trust that that is good for us. The world may not care about it. The world may doubt it. Others may doubt it. They may scoff at it and laugh at it. We just read our Bible and we trust that. Here's an example. In Romans chapter 4, really the whole chapter is about the faith and the walk and the obedience of Abraham. But we'll just notice this. In chapter 4 and verse 16, "For this cause it is of faith, that it might be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that which is also of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made thee, before him whom he believed, even God, who giveth life to the dead and calleth the things that are not as though they are, who in hope believed against hope, to the end that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which he has been spoken, so shall thy seed be. And without being weakened in faith, he considered his own body now as good as dead, he being about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet looking unto the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured," there's your belief, "that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." And then Paul goes on to say that it wasn't just for Abraham that this was written, but also for us who can have that same kind of faith. God is making promises. God is making oaths. And Abraham is just simply believing that. Whether it's leaving his homeland or whether later it's offering up his son Isaac. We believe and trust what God says. Turn with me now to James chapter 2, where we find the third place in Scripture where it is said that Abraham was the friend of God. James chapter 2. If we get up each day and just simply believe God's Word, especially in a world and climate today where it seems like fewer and fewer people are doing that, we can be the friend of God. In James chapter 2, verse 21, speaking to Christians who need to have an active faith, we apply this to non-Christians, which is fine. This context is Christians, verse 14, who need to have an active faith. Verse 21, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works in that he offered up Isaac his own son upon the altar?" Genesis 22. "Thou seest that faith wrought," or working, "with his works, and by works was faith made perfect," or complete. "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Again, Isaiah 41, 8, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7. Why was he called the friend of God? Because Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. And we're going to make a point in just a moment that that is obedience. But here we want to just focus on the fact that I believe God. I trust my friend. So when we read the marriage passages and the parenting passages, and the other kinds of passages where somebody might say, "Well, I don't know about that," we're just simply going to believe that. I'm going to believe the passages that tell me what I need to do to be a Christian and remain faithful after that. I'm going to believe that. That's what friends do. And Abraham did that, and he was, because of that, he was called the friend of God. But beyond that, he got up and obeyed. The second thing that Abraham did to be the friend of God was not just simply trust what my friend has said, but if my friend has told me to do something that is for my good, I'm going to follow that. I'm going to agree with that. I'm going to obey. Abraham obeyed. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham was someone who listened to God and obeyed God. We're very familiar with Faith's Hall of Fame here in Hebrews chapter 11. Just mentioning a few verses here. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called by God, his friend. And his friend told him to get up and do something. So verse 8, he obeyed to go out unto a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. He obeyed. Look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, being tried or tested, offered up Isaac. He obeyed. He did what he was told to do. That's what friends do. And if I want God to be my friend, I've got to obey Him each and every day. Turn with me to John chapter 8. Jesus rebuked the Jews of His day. They prided themselves in being of the physical lineage of Abraham. But one thing they were not, they were not like Abraham in Abraham's desire to hear the words of God and obey them. John chapter 8 and verse 39. They answered and said unto him, by the way, this is the well-known passage back in verse 32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Or in verse 31, you need to abide in my word. So the context here is following the words of Jesus, the truth. These Jews on this occasion were not willing to do that, and so they're different from their father Abraham. Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, our father is Abraham. They were physically connected to him through their lineage, but they were not spiritually connected to Abraham. And here's why. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What are the works of Abraham? Hearing my friend, God, trusting Him, believing Him, and then I get up and obey. If you really were Abraham's lineage, you would do what your father did. You would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I heard from God. This did not Abraham. You people hear the truth that comes from God, and you won't follow it. Abraham, he heard the truth from God, and he would get up and follow it. Because that's what friends do. Abraham, the friend of God. The second thing we need to do is get up and obey each and every time God wants us to do something. And we can be the friend of God. The third thing that Abraham did to be the friend of God was that he was loyal. Friends are loyal to each other. They support each other. They defend each other. They back each other. And Abraham is described in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 9 as Abraham the faithful. This is not just simply his belief in God, but he's trustworthy. You can count on him. Galatians 3 and verse 9. He's consistent. He's constant. You know what he's going to do. He wasn't perfect. He had to grow. There were things that he needed to change. We know about how that he lied about his wife, and we know how that he had a child with Hagar, and we know about how that he laughed on one occasion. He wasn't sinless, but he learns to walk and be obedient, and he learns to be trustworthy. Abraham believed God, verse 6. We've already talked about that. And then verse 9, so they that are of faith are blessed with the faithful Abraham. A friend is always there, that always shows up. It doesn't matter what time of the day, it doesn't matter what the situation. And so to be God's friend, He's looking for our consistency and our constancy. Just a stalwart, regular friend. Always can be counted on at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. And there were times where God recognized this. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 18. Abraham did things where God would say, I know this about Abraham. I know that he's going to do this. That is someone who is trustworthy. That is someone who is loyal. Someone where you can know in advance what he's going to do. And so God says in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, For I have known him, Abraham, to the end that he may command his children and his household after him, that they might keep the way of Jehovah to do righteousness and justice, to the end that Jehovah may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken unto him. I know that he's going to carry this out. There had been enough activity and trust and faith on Abraham's part up to this point for God to say, I know that he's going to just keep doing this. And that's the way it needs to be in our life, brethren, as we live our Christian life, where God looks back and says, there's been enough activity to know that brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, they're going to be this way all the way to the end. That's how we become the friend of God. Abraham was the friend of God because he was candid and open. Friends are open with each other. They don't hold anything back. They share. They're open. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 18 with regard to Abraham offering up intercession for Sodom and Gomorrah. This is impressive to me that Abraham is speaking to God in an open fashion like they were close friends. Do you remember the statement in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11? The text says that God spoke to Moses face to face. Listen, as a man speaks to his friend. You're just face to face. You're just plain. You're just open. And you know that the friend can take it. It's like the proverb that talks about as iron sharpens iron, so the countenance sharpens his friend. We can just speak to someone and be plain. We don't have to, well, are they going to get all mad? And are they going to get all upset? And are we going to lose our friendship? And are they going to get, go off and do this? We just speak plainly. And we appreciate close friendships where we just speak plainly. Well, look at this in Genesis chapter 18 with regard to the doom of Sodom and Gomorrah that God has planned. Let's pick up the reading right after what we just read there in verse 19. I have known him. God knows some things about Abraham. That's the closeness of a friendship. Abraham is my friend, God says, Isaiah 41:8. And I know things about my friend. And here's something else that comes up between two friends, God and Abraham. Just a close, intimate, candid discussion. Look at verse 20. And Jehovah said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before Jehovah. And Abraham drew near. Underscore that. I don't know exactly what all went on there. I don't know if he walked some more or I don't know if he looked up into heaven, but he drew near to God. There's a closeness here. Wilt thou consume the righteous with the wicked? Now get a picture of this. Here's a mortal man talking openly to God and telling him what he thinks he ought to do with regard to Sodom and Gomorrah. That you've got to be pretty close with God in order to talk like that. Right? You don't just, hey God, let's bargain. God's not a man. This is the Almighty Creator of the universe, but Abraham feels close enough to talk with him about this kind of thing. Will you consume the righteous with the wicked? You're questioning God. You've got to be pretty close to do that. Peradventure, there are 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou consume and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. Can you imagine talking to God and say, now this wouldn't be good for you to do this, God. You have to be pretty close with someone to speak candidly and open with them. That so the righteous should be as the wicked? That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And Jehovah said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all of the place for their sake. Notice God didn't say, no, wait a minute. You don't have a right coming in here talking to me like this, questioning me. You can't be doing that, Abraham. He just said to Abraham, okay, if I find such and such, they're speaking as friends. In fact, I believe Abraham recognizes the gravity of the situation. Look at the very next verse. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's a humbling and sobering thing. Who am but dust and ashes. Abraham drew near to God and just spoke openly with him. And that's what God is looking for with us. God does not want us to compartmentalize him and he's a Sunday morning only God. I don't ever mess with him any time during the week. He's a Sunday morning church building only God. He's supposed to be a friend that we confide in each and every day through prayer. And just be open about what is going on in your life or my life. Just be open about that. That's what friends do. And God is looking for us to do that. You know, have you ever seen two friends together? They typically are not walking around with a long face. They're happy. Turn with me to John chapter 8. They're happy to be with each other. They enjoy each other's company. We'll go out with our friends in order to have a good time. Maybe work has been getting us down or something. Abraham was called God's friend because he was happy with the things that God told him to do. The matter that Jesus brings up here in this chapter, we were reading here earlier about the Jews who weren't like Abraham. They would not work the works of Abraham. They were not obedient to truth. But look at what he says about Abraham later in John chapter 8. Come on down to verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. That's an interesting little statement about Abraham. That has reference to God's promise to Abraham that in you, all of the nations, in your seed, would all of the nations be blessed. And when Abraham realized, in my seed, and he's thinking about the promised Messiah down the road, there's going to come someone who will bless all nations, not just Jews, not just Gentiles, but all people. He was happy about that. Are you and I happy about what God tells us in His Word? Are we happy about things? When we read our New Testament, Paul was talking about reading our Bible daily. When we read our Bible, it's not a bore, it's not a chore, it's not a list of drudgery. It's things that God has for us that are blessings. In you, all of the nations would be blessed. And Abraham rejoiced to see that day. Through the eye of faith, he looked down the road. He didn't know the details of that. But he heard, there's going to come someone for me that is going to bless all nations. And he rejoiced to see Jesus' day. When friends are together, they're happy. And each day that we live as a Christian, it should not be a downer. It should not be a head hung low and a drudgery and a ball and chain. And it should be joy that we get to be with God. And when He tells us things, it makes us happy. And then last of all, Abraham was the friend of God because he worked for God. You get two friends together, it doesn't matter what's going on, it doesn't matter what the other one asks of you, you'll do it. It doesn't matter how hard it is, it doesn't matter what kind of a sacrifice it is. And in Psalm 105, verse 6, and then again in verse 42, Abraham is called the servant of God. Tell me where I need to go, Lord. I'm your friend. and you're my friend, and tell me what I need to do. I need to leave my homeland? Okay, I'll do that. I need to have faith that in my old age I'll have a son with my wife who's old as well. I'll do that. I need to circumcise. I'll do that. I need to offer up my son Isaac. I'll do that. Tell me what I need to do. That's what friends do. And if we have a relationship with God of a close friendship, service will not be something that is hard. It'll be something that we look forward to each day. You get two friends together, two close friends together, they're glad to do whatever comes up. You don't have to push and prod and poke them. They love it. And if God's our friend, which He's looking for, then it'll be the same for us. Christianity will be a joy. Christianity will be a blessing. It'll be something that we enjoy doing. And we'll work hard for a friend. You get a complete stranger come up to you and say, would you come mow my yard in 95 degree weather? Complete stranger. You're like, I don't know about that. But if a close friend came to you, say, yeah, I'll do that for you. It's going to be hard, but I'll do it. We do things for our friends, even if it's hard. We'll drive a distance. We'll make a sacrifice. We'll stay up late. We'll do whatever. And you know, we'll do that for God because we're friends. As we close this morning, can you put your name in the blank? Is your name there? It's not there if you don't believe. It's not there if you don't obey. It's not there if you're not faithful. And if you're not willing to draw near. It's not there if you don't rejoice. And it's not there if you don't serve. But if we do all those things, our name can be there. And to borrow a modern social media expression, God is sending you a friend request. He's sending you a friend request. And we would do well to accept it. You know, in Jesus' day, He called His disciples in Luke 12, verse 4. He wanted to preach a sermon and He got His friends together. Luke 12, verse 4. That's interesting. His disciples were His friends. In John 11, in verse 11, Jesus said, Lazarus, our friend, has fallen asleep. I bring that up to say that Jesus, like God, is looking for friends. And in our scripture reading, He tells us three things that let us know how that can come about. The first thing He says in John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So sacrifice. Friends sacrifice for each other. Jesus did that on the cross, and He's looking for us in our sacrifice to do that in faithful obedience to Him. The second thing that Jesus sets forth as a condition of friendship in verse 14 is, you are my friends if you do the things which I command you. So obedience, beginning with being baptized into Christ and continuing that obedience thereafter each and every day. The third condition of friendship that Jesus mentions is in verse 15. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known unto you. What does that mean? Have you ever had an employee where you just basically have a relationship with them where you just tell them what they need to do? You don't have to explain everything. Just go do that. So a master doesn't have to explain everything to the servant. The servant doesn't know everything the master does or is working on. He just does what he's told. But Jesus said, I want a different relationship with you. I want a friendship relationship. And that is that I fully divulge everything that you need to know. That's a different relationship. So the third condition is just openness with regard to God and His Word. And Jesus tells us everything that we need to know from God to be right with God. We're going to stand and sing the song of encouragement in just a moment. I need thee every hour. Let's have that approach with God. Start thinking from this day forward, if we've forgotten it, we may have been thinking it, and that's good, but if we've forgotten it, and I forget things just as much as anyone, but if we've forgotten that God is to be our friend, let's live in such a way to bring that about each and every day. And young people, you know what would be really cool is if you were going to school this week and somebody said, well, who are your friends? Before you mention any human being, just say God. God's my friend. That's a shocker. That'll put someone, what? Yeah, God's my friend. Now, I've also got, you know, Johnny and Mary. But put God on the top of the list. That'll throw someone for a loop. But that's really the way it's supposed to be. God's our friend. And He's looking for us to have that relationship. If you want to begin that this morning, and we can help you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?